the original news and information show on FM, AM Idaho, with Aaron Coons on News Radio 590, 1240, and 92.1 FM KID.
And good morning. Welcome back to AM Idaho KID News Time. It's 7:48 here on this Wednesday, August 4th. 2010. And as promised, Superintendent Tom Luna, Superintendent of Schools here in the state of Idaho, is joining us on the phone this morning. Superintendent, good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
How are you today?
I am doing well. Just left the gym and getting ready for another busy day at the office.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you taking some time out of that busy schedule to talk to us this morning. So let's go ahead and get right to it. First of all, just tell us your opinions of the AYP report card that came out that you released on Monday.
Well, there's a lot of good news there. For third year, we see Idaho schools are doing better all the time. In the way that we measure student achievement, 2 years, 3 years ago, only 26% of Idaho schools met the high academic standards we set for them. Last year, 66% met that goal. We led the nation for 2 years in a row in the increase in the number of our schools making those high academic goals. And then we raised the bar. We increased the reading requirement by 10% and the math requirement by 20%. So we raised the bar considerably. And even after doing that this year, 62% of our schools are meeting that higher expectation. And we see the success all across the state. So I just give credit to all the hardworking teachers and the dedicated parents. It's evidence that the plan that we implemented 3 years ago is bearing fruit, and the children of Idaho are the benefits of it.
And still, like you said, it's a higher goal. Is that why you think that some schools here in the state of Idaho have yet to really make that mark yet?
Well, it's very difficult to make these academic goals. And you know, some people would argue it should be, because what we're talking about is making sure our students are ready for the world that awaits them. There's 41 different categories that a school must meet in order to hit our high academic goals. If they miss just one of them by a few students, then they're not in that list of schools that have made what we call AYP, or adequate yearly progress. And so it's not evidence that it's a poor school or a failing school. It just gives them the information they need to know where they need to focus their resources, because it identifies, you know, a certain group of students that, for whatever reason, aren't at grade level yet. So it's very difficult to make AYP, so it's, you know, we're impressed. And we congratulate those schools that have done it, even those that this year got over a considerably higher bar.
Are you a little bit fearful for this coming year, knowing that this will be, as we go into 2010-2011 school year, a lot of schools are going to be suffering from budget woes? As you know, the state has reduced the budget to schools for the first time in Idaho history. Is this going to affect their ability to meet these AYP results next year?
It'll have an impact, and I've told people from day one I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I recognize the realities of the economy that we're in and the very, very difficult decisions that the governor and the legislature had to make. But we can't sugarcoat this. This will have an impact on student achievement. And so what we've been focusing on is, now that we know what the budget is to assure that we can minimize the impact that this is going to have on student achievement. So what parents need to know is, even with this budget that is very, very tight, that we preserve the programs that provide the assistance to those kids who are struggling. So if your child is struggling in reading, we preserve the program that is going to get them the extra assistance they need. If your child is struggling in math or any other subject area, we have preserved the funding in this budget to make sure your child gets that extra assistance. We can't tell a child who is struggling in reading or math that you're going to have to wait until the economy improves before we can get you the extra help you need. And so we prioritized the way we're spending these precious education dollars, and we preserved those programs. And I think that's important for parents to know. So, you know, we're going to enter this next school year in uncharted territory for schools, because it's the first time that they're going to be receiving less money from the state than they received before. But I'm confident that if we prioritize how we spend these dollars, if we preserve student-teacher contact time, if we preserve those programs that get into the classroom and provide the most immediate and positive effect on student achievement, then we can minimize the impact that this economy will have on our child's education.
Yeah, the economy is huge right now, and that's one of the questions I think people have been asking me on Facebook this morning is, how is this budget year going to affect some of the teachers, and how are you going to support them through this very, very tough year?
Well, one thing that we did is when the budget was being crafted, we made sure that the state funds the same number of teachers this coming year as they did last year so that we didn't see larger classrooms. Now, there are a handful of districts across the state that hire more teachers than the state funds. In those cases, those districts can reduce their teaching staff, but districts that hire only the amount of teachers that the state funds, they have to hire the same number of teachers or they lose funding from the state. So it was very important to us that we don't allow our classrooms to expand to the point where it's not manageable and education suffers. And also, if you look at how the budget was crafted, and let me just give you some examples. The Attorney General's office is furloughing 24 days. That's every other Friday they're taking off without pay. The Department of Admin is furloughing their employees 10 days. My department has had a 20% cut over the past 2 years. All of these cuts were made, and every savings account was drained before education was cut $1. And so I think that shows the priority that the legislature and the governor put on education. It doesn't minimize the impact that this cut is going to have on education. But what I tell folks is it was the last dollar cut, and I'm convinced it'll be the first dollar put back into our school education system once this economy turns around.
Are you going to be asking the land board this coming legislative session for more money, much like you did this year? I know they didn't give you everything you had hoped for. You were hoping somewhere around $40 to $50 million dollars. Yeah. They gave you a little less than half of that. Are you going to be going back to them this year?
Well, what I did this year was, while everyone was trying to figure out how to get by on less money, I was insistent that I was going to shake every tree and turn over every rock and explore every possibility to find additional revenue. And the land board was an original, a unique idea. And we were able to get over $20 million from the land board in additional funding for our schools. I was also able to identify about $6 million in other funds in that we were able to shift to schools to minimize the impact. I still believe that there's $30 million sitting there that the land board could have released that would have minimized the impact that this budget is going to have on our schools, and it would not have affected the land board's ability to make future distributions to our schools. So we'll see how the economy plays out, but I'm going to take the same approach next year and every year after that. I'm going to turn over every rock and shake every tree, because I've been involved in education at the state level, at the local level, and even the federal level. There's never been a time where I said, take some of this money back, we can't figure out where to spend it. I mean, we can always find good and efficient ways to spend more dollars in education. But at the same time, I'm looking every day at how we're spending what we already have and prioritizing that and finding efficiencies in those dollars.
Prioritize for me, if you would. What are the biggest issues students are going to be facing right now? Budget aside, are they facing problems in math right now, reading, or is it teachers? What is the biggest problem, the hurdle
that
they're having to go?
Aaron, we know that once a child enters the school, that the most important factor in their success is the quality of the teacher in the classroom. So we need to focus on making sure that we have an education system and a compensation system for teachers that keeps the great teachers we already have and attracts more of the best and brightest into this profession. So that's always a priority. And then also focusing on getting our resources into the classroom. We still spend too much of our education dollars on things that happen outside of the classroom. Over the past 4 years, and especially the first 3 years of my administration, we put over $50 million of new money into the classroom, money for textbooks, money for technology, money to remediate students who are struggling, to provide advanced opportunities for students who excel, money for classroom supplies and materials. We created the math initiative. We reworked the reading initiative. All of these things get directly into the classroom and make sure that students are progressing year after year at grade level so that when they graduate from high school and they go on to college or into the workforce, when they get there, they do not need remediation. That's the plan that we put in place and we focused on, and we're beginning to see positive results from that plan.
Are you seeing support from the national level? I know that over the last month or so, we've heard from the president talking about education. We've heard from Secretary Arne Duncan. Are you getting the support nationally?
Well, not only are we getting recognition from at the federal level because of the fact that Idaho's led the nation for 2 years in the increase in the number of our schools making adequate yearly progress, but just a couple months ago, we had education leaders from about 9 different states come to Idaho to meet with us together to learn more about our school improvement plan, because we're seeing, we're getting attention around the country because of the amazing results we're seeing. And when you consider how much we spend per student compared to other states, it's those other states that spend considerably more than we do per student that are coming to Idaho to try to figure out what we're doing. And when we explain to them that we prioritize what's happening in the classroom and then go through them what our specific school improvement plan is, they're very impressed. In fact, we were just notified a while ago that Brown University and Temple University are going to do a study on our school improvement system that we have here in Idaho because of the amazing results we're seeing. Now, I've talked very positively about the progress we've seen, but I want folks to understand that I also recognize that we have a long ways to go because we still have too many students that are graduating from high school and they're not ready for the world that awaits them. So what I'm telling folks is the positive news is that we have a plan in place, we're on the right path, and we're going in the right direction. But I also recognize that we have a long ways to go if we're going to prepare our students for the world that awaits them.
Yeah, about 20 seconds left. Do you see, and I appreciate you being here on the show with me, but real quick, do you see the budget issue turning around this year?
Well, I tell folks that it's a brighter day and it's not far off. I think what you're going to see is a budget that maintains current funding levels plus growth. And we see some positive signs that the economy is at least bottomed out and is beginning to turn around. It'll take a while for those revenues, those tax revenues, to catch up with the improved economy. But I think we've seen the worst of it, and I do believe there's a brighter day and it's not far off.
All right. Thank you very much, Superintendent Tom Luna, joining us in studio or by phone this morning. We appreciate your time. Candid News Time is 8 o'clock.